All right, kind of catchy, huh? Get some house lights up. Man, I don't know about you, but I was really glad that it rained last night. Anybody else glad that it rained last night? Okay, I'm committed. Okay, there we go. We can clap for some rain. Okay. We have a sprinkler system in our house, in our yard, but I'm determined not to use it this year. Like, I'm just determined to let God water the grass this year. So it got really crunchy and really, like, you know, the girls didn't even want to, like, play in the yard because it was so hard and dead. But last night, a little bit of rain, I refreshed it, and it's green again already, right? So I'm hoping that God just kind of does that here a little bit. So one cool thing about having our own building is we'll be able to control the temperature in the sanctuary. So we're excited about that, too. I'm really excited about where God's taking us and what he wants to do. It's all about reaching people, and like Aaron said, really excited about those things. So we are starting a brand new series today called Neighbors, and Neighbors is going to be a four-week series here in the month of June talking about how do we practically love the people around us. And so maybe for you it's a neighbor that's challenging, maybe it's a coworker that's challenging, maybe it's a family member that's challenging, but we all have those people that are really difficult to love, right? Amen, church? Is that true? So I probably shouldn't say amen. Like, yes, amen, let it be. But it's true. So here's an honest confession. I think just about everybody has one of those neighbors. Do you have one of those neighbors? Like one of those neighbors? I shouldn't be confessing this as a pastor, but and I don't think my wife even knows where I'm headed with this story, but we had a set of neighbors, they moved, but we had a set of neighbors that, and I feel really bad saying this, but these were the kind of neighbors. They weren't bad neighbors. They didn't do anything bad or destructive. They were just the really nosy neighbors. Anybody have those? They're really nosy neighbors. They knew all the gossip about the neighborhood, to make it worse, and they were just really kind of kooky. To make it worse, they were Christians, all right? They're believers. But whenever we would see them, we just kind of had that, like, bad feeling on our stomach. Like, we really don't want to talk to them right now. You know, so we had, you know, just I feel really bad. I feel guilty even talking about it. I should stop talking about it. But you guys know what I'm talking about, though. So we have neighbors. We have people. And neighbors can be used in lots of ways. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Whoever it is. Maybe it's somebody on Facebook. I don't know. But there's people that are really difficult to love. Not just annoying, but extremely difficult. Almost impossible to love. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So this series is going to be about how do we practically, and as we head into summer when everyone's out and active, how do we show God's love? How do we practically love those around us, even those that are difficult to love? So what does it look like for us to truly love our neighbors and our coworkers and family and friends, listen to this, the way that Jesus calls us to? Because Jesus calls us to love people differently than you and I are hardwired to naturally, and differently than the rest of the world loves people. God calls us to love people differently than the way that we see love being demonstrated around us in the world. Would you agree with that, church? That God calls us to a different kind of love. In fact, the Bible says that one of the distinguishing marks of those who follow after Jesus will be their love for other people. That will be like the primary distinguishing mark is your love for other people. So what does it look like to love our neighbors? So I want you to turn today to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to go to a familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Am I the only one that has a confession like that about their neighbors? I'm sure you guys could tell some crazy stories about your neighbors. One thing I might do next week, because it's been so cold, I might come out with a Mr. Rogers sweater. And say, welcome to, this is Bill Elliott's idea, welcome to Pastor Josh's neighborhood or something like that. But we're going to talk about how do we love those around us? How do we practically love those around us? So go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read to you these verses 1 through 7. These verses you'll typically hear read like at a wedding or something like that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I'm going to read some verses about love. Today's going to be talking about what is love, defining love. So when we're talking about loving those around us, let's define what love is. What does love mean? And what is God calling us to do? So let's read these verses, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. Paul, who wrote this, the writer of this, says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything that I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It isn't irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. So let me just share with you a couple quick thoughts from this, and then we'll get to some application. Here's thought number one, that you and I, we are made to love like this. We are made to love the way that 1 Corinthians 13 describes love. It's how God made us to be. This passage is usually read at weddings, right? And so we typically think that this text or the context of this is between a husband and wife. And it's very true that these verses about love do apply within marriage. Husbands, we're supposed to love our wives this way, wives same way. But the context of this in 1 Corinthians is that this passage is about all of us as believers and how we're supposed to love everyone. Does that make sense? This isn't just about marriage, although this is the foundation of the love of marriage, but this is about how you and I, or all of us, are supposed to love, not just for special occasions, but this is how all of us are supposed to love everyone. And what Paul is saying is that if you and I do even amazing things, did you hear some of the stuff he talked about? Even if you give all of your possessions to the poor and even sacrifice your own body, but don't do it out of love, you've gained nothing. That love is that foundation. It's like white noise. He mentions a clanging cymbal. Justin back here is playing the drums. And so this is, we have three kids. And have you ever, I have a real hard time when I come home from work, and the girls are really excited to see me, which is awesome. I'm sure that will change, right, at some point. But I come home, and then I've got all three of them just like, you know, just trying to tell me their entire day, all that happened the entire day, all three of them all at the same time. Can anybody else? It just drives me crazy, right? So they're, you know, Adeline's trying to tell me something, Avery, and they're all trying to tell me the different things. So I have to, like, get the room quiet for a second. Okay, one at a time. You tell me, then you tell me, then you tell me, right? So it's impossible to pick out in that noise at the moment. It's impossible to pick out what they're trying to say because it's just a bunch of noise. So what Paul is saying is that when we do all these things and we're not found, the foundation isn't love, the world can't pick out what we're saying or what's going on because they don't hear love. They don't see love. It's like we're banging a cymbal. It's like we're all, you know, chattering in their ears. They can't hear it because there's the love is not the foundation. One of the things that we have in my house, I don't know how you sleep at night, but we started, my wife actually started this in our family, but we have a white noise machine. Anybody else have these? We have a noisemaker. It's a fan, but it doesn't actually blow any air. It just makes noise. It's so soothing. Can you hear that at all? There it is. Okay, so every one of the rooms where there's people sleeping in our house has one of these little white noise machines, these little noisemakers. And what we love about it is that it drowns out the noise. Is there a thunderstorm going on outside right now? That's pretty creepy, right? So we have one of these noisemakers in every single one of our rooms, and it drowns out the other noise, right? So that's we want that to happen. But what Paul is saying is that when you do things and you don't have love attached to it, it's like it's getting drowned out. Is that rain? Crazy. Keep going. So distracted. I'm so concerned. Yeah, let's just turn this on and just All right. So the idea is, though, that this is supposed to accompany our walk as Christians, that we're supposed to be filled with God's love and love those around us. We were made to love like this. Another example is this. Can you imagine if you showed up to a job interview? You did all the preparation. You showed up, you know, very businesslike, very organized, on time. Your resume looked perfect. But can you imagine if you forgot to put clothes on? Right? Would any of the other stuff matter? Would it matter that your resume was awesome? No. Right? Would it matter that you showed up on time? No. Because you forgot the most important part, right? That'd be a big deal. So what Paul is saying is that it's like that. When we try to do nice things for people, even when we try to just live in the world, if we don't have love associated with it, if we don't truly love the other person, it's pointless, it's empty, it's void. Love is foundational. Love is foundational. The deeds of a Christian don't matter to them or to other people if we don't have love. One cool thing that you can do with this passage, you can put the word God in for the word love. So we're going to take a look at that really quickly. Here's what that looks like. Here's what the verse says. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful. We're going to put the word God in there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So here's what it looks like if you put, because this passage describes God, doesn't it? So here's what we could do. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. He doesn't demand his own way. He's not irritable, and he keeps no record of being wronged. He doesn't rejoice about injustice, but he rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up. He never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. Isn't that cool to see God in that and see the name of God in there? Now, another thing that you can do is you can put your own name in there. And you can see and you can read these verses to see if it works the same way with your own name in there. Right? So I'm going to put mine. You guys just imagine yours in there, okay? So just go and flip back. Yeah. Josh is patient and kind. Yeah, right? Josh is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Yes. He does not demand his own way. He's not irritable and he keeps no record of wrong. Just don't ask my kids about any of that. He doesn't rejoice about injustice, right? So all these things. So the question is, if we put our own name in these verses, does it still fit? And it's like that, it's like, I don't know, not really. So God is calling us to have this kind of love. So the big idea is that having an authentic love for people has to be the foundation for all works in the Christian life. Having an authentic love for people. Now here's the second point. And I believe, God, guys, we were created to love like this. God created us to love other people this way. Now here's point number two, that we were made to be transformed. This kind of love that God is talking about doesn't come naturally to us, but God is at work in us supernaturally to bring this about. When God gets involved in our life, when we are willing to surrender our lives to him, then he can change us and help us to love people the way he's called us to love people. Does that make sense? It doesn't happen naturally, but it happens supernaturally. We're called to be transformed. We're supposed to be changed. This kind of love is supposed to characterize us as believers. Here's a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Colossians 3:9-10 says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. But put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Can we all agree that God's goal for us is to love people like 1 Corinthians 13 describes? Patient, kind, faithful, hopeful. 1 Corinthians, and then later on in this same passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spoke and I thought like and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. See, what I see in my own heart is that in many ways regarding love, I'm still a child. that make sense? How do children love? They love selfishly, don't they? I will love you as long as you love me back. Or I will love you because you're my friend. Or I will love you because of what it benefits me. What Paul is saying, what God is challenging us to, is that it's time to grow up and not love selfishly anymore, but to love as God calls us to love. Scripture even describes, hey, it's easy to love other people that are lovable or that love you back. But what's challenging is to love people that are unlovable, to love people that are hard to love. But you know what? God calls us to do something radical, doesn't he, church? He calls us to make a choice to love even those that are difficult to love, right? It's time to grow up in our love of other people. It's not okay any longer for me to be jealous or rude or proud or any of those kinds of things. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I'm called to radically love those people around me. So there's no place for us to get, I mean, it happens, right? But we get ticked off in traffic or we get frustrated with these, but we're called to love radically, and God changes us. He transforms us and helps us to do that. Does that make sense? This kind of love changes people. When the same authentic love is shown in every area of your life, people will notice that. And when it's not consistent, people will notice that as well. If you are consistently loving in every arena of your life, people will take notice of that. But when you're not, people will also notice that. So here's a question for us to think about. Is there a group of people that you encounter in life who you don't model this kind of love to? So maybe there's some categories of people where you do okay demonstrating love. Maybe at work you do a good job demonstrating love. But maybe at home it's a different story. Maybe at the grocery store you do a great job of demonstrating love. But maybe at church it's a different story. Or maybe with your spouse or your coworkers or strangers. So are we demonstrating the same kind of consistent love in every category of our lives? And I came across this crazy quote because I think about loving people, I would generally say, this is probably the danger, yeah, I'm a fairly loving guy, right? We'd all probably, I don't think there's anybody in here who say, I'm a horrible person, I hate everybody. Like, no one's going to say that. We all generally think that we're loving people, but listen to this quote. This is going to make it very challenging. C.S. Lewis, a philosopher and pastor, said this. He said, it's easier to be enthusiastic about humanity with a capital H than it is to love individual men and women, especially those who are uninteresting, exasperating, depraved, or otherwise unattractive. Loving everybody in general may be an excuse for loving nobody in particular. That's deep, isn't it? That I could say, yeah, I'm a loving person. I love people. What about that person? And what about that person? Right? And there's names popping into your heads. I know there are. What about loving that person? So we can't say, I'm a loving person. I love pretty much everybody, but then there's that one person, I can't love them. What is God calling us to? He's calling us to be transformed, to love differently. That's challenging. See, we all have those people that we can't stand or that we want to avoid or that rub us the wrong way. Can we love them? We're called to do something different and something countercultural, counterintuitive, and we're called to love them. Love them. Love that, even that person that's coming to your mind right now that you can't stand. Love them. It goes against the grain of our sinful nature, and that's why we need God's nature inside of us to produce this in us. So here's the big idea again. Having an authentic love for people has to be the foundation for all works of the Christian life. God calls us to love those around us. And next week, we're going to get into more about how to do that and what that looks like. But let me talk about a couple practical things real quick today. A couple of practical things. You know, we mentioned to you as a church, we're on a journey. We've got the next campaign, which is about the building stuff, but we're also on this 3-year journey called Each One, Reach One. And it's kind of like two sides to the same coin. Each One, Reach One is about our commitment as a church and as an elder team to see us be committed to loving those around us to the point where we are able to share God's love with them in a transformational way. So we are saying as a church through this Each One, Reach One, that we are committed to not just hunkering down in our own little space as a church, but continually being committed to seeing more people come to know Him. Make sense? That's what we're called to do. That's our mission as a church and as Christians. So Each One, Reach One is our commitment to that. Go ahead and put the next slide up. This is basically what we're saying here as a church. We're saying that we're challenging each family or each person to wholeheartedly follow Jesus, and that each person would be responsible for leading at least one other person per year to do the same. And what that means is, it sounds, let me just kind of describe it in a different way. We're just saying we want to be intentional. We want to be committed to those around us who don't know Jesus. We want to be following Jesus with a seriousness because He calls us to follow after Him seriously. Guys, I don't know what God is doing in my heart these days, but God is developing in me a greater hunger to know Him. It's like, God, there's so much else in life that doesn't matter. I want to know You, God. I want to know who God is. I want to know what God is like. I want to understand Him better. Does that make sense? I've got this growing hunger to know God more. I want to wholeheartedly, go ahead and put that back. I want to wholeheartedly follow after Jesus. And I just want to challenge and maybe spur some of you on this morning. Are you following Jesus or aren't you? Are you committed to being one of His followers or not? Has He saved you and changed you, or hasn't He? Right? It's not time to be casual in our faith any longer. It's time to be serious about it. And He calls us to radically love those around us. We can't do it on our own. We have to call on Him to help us. But He challenges us to do that. I'm going to have the ushers pass something out. I put a basket back there, Tyler, with some white wristbands. You got that. Tyler's going to pass out something. And we're going to be doing something. We have a bunch of these Each One, Reach One wristbands. And I want to encourage you to grab one of those. There's some youth sizes and some, I don't know, anyway, pass those out. Grab one of these. So what this is for me is this is a reminder for me to love those around me. This is a reminder for me of God's commission on my life to make an impact in the people around me. Does that make sense? So what I want you to do is I want you to take one of those. I want you to wear it as a reminder. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to commit to pray and love your neighbors every day. I want to challenge you to do that. I want to challenge you to commit to pray for those around you and to commit to loving those around you every single day. That's my challenge. Is that something that we can do, church? Can we? Can we pray? Can we commit to pray for those around us? And can we commit to love those around us every single day? It's a choice that we make. We commit to loving them. And here's some practical ways I want to give you to do that. I want to encourage you to find ways, even that person. Okay, everyone think of a person right now. Everyone think of a person that you can't stand, okay? Everyone think of like your worst enemy, your arch nemesis. Everyone get that person in your mind. It needs to be a real person, not a fictional person, okay? Does everybody have somebody in their mind? Maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe your pastor. Pastor Tony, I was referring to Pastor Tony. So have that person in your mind. Now, I want to ask you this. Are you willing to commit to pray for that person and to choose to love them every single day? It may be a spouse. I don't know. It may be an ex. Are you willing? I want to challenge you that you would commit to pray for that person and to love them every single day. And I want us to use these bands. For me, this is a reminder that God has called me to love those around me. He's called me to love them unconditionally. So that's my challenge. I want to challenge you to do that. Here's some ideas of what that could look like, to love them, pray for them. I want to challenge you to find a way to encourage that person. Now, you may not like that person one bit, but I want to challenge you to find a way to encourage them. I don't know a single person who doesn't need to be encouraged. And maybe there's somebody who's full of pride, and that's the last thing you want to do is pour some more fire on that. But I want to challenge you and say, hey, I really appreciate this about you. I want to challenge and encourage you to do that. Every one of us just needs some encouragement once in a while. I want to challenge you to find ways to pray for them. How can you be praying for those people around you? One of the things that my wife and I have tried to do in our neighborhood, partially because we're bad with names. Anybody else bad with names? So we've tried to keep a map of our neighborhood. It's kind of stalkerish, but we've tried to keep a map of our neighborhood. And it sounds really, really creepy, but we've tried to keep a map of our neighborhood, and we will literally like jot down people's names, right? We'll write down their names so that we can remember who they are, right? So the next time we see them walking around the neighborhood, we could talk to them and we could say, hey, how's it going? And we can pray for them. So we try to be intentional and keep a map of our neighborhood and our neighbor's names. It's not as creepy as, maybe it is creepy, but it's a Jesus kind of creepy. Whatever that means. All right, so we can encourage them, and we can pray for them. All right, move on. Keep going with me. We're almost done. Keep going with me. So find a way to encourage them. Find a way to pray for them. And here's the last thing. Find a way to serve them. Find a way to serve them. Look for ways and go out of your way. Do the opposite of what your sinful nature is telling you to do. Do the exact opposite. When you feel like you want to throw something on Facebook to spite someone else, do the exact opposite and do something to bless them, right? Serve them. Do the opposite of what your nature wants to do. And this, you'll be fulfilling the law of Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Look for ways to serve them. Go out of your way to love on them. Here's one of the things that I have found helpful. This is kind of a weird way of doing this, but so I've been trying to figure out ways that I want to be able to serve some of the people in my neighborhood. So what I figured out is that people have this reciprocity kind of mentality where they don't want to ask for favors because they don't want to feel like they owe you something. Does that make sense? So what I do is I ask them to do me a favor. And then they feel like, okay, then I can ask him to help me because he owes me one. Does that make sense? It's a little bit weird and twisted. I know it is. I know it is, but I want to be willing to open up that door and say, hey, you know, would you mind if I borrow this? I was working in my yard, you know, hey, can I borrow this tool or can I? So it's a way, it does sound kind of manipulative, doesn't it? It's not meant to be that way. Anyway, no, but it's a way to say, hey, you know, let's open up this neighborhood thing a little bit. You guys have a weird pastor, I'll just say that. But find a way to serve them. Does that make sense? Find a way to serve them, to serve them. I want to encourage you to start a neighborhood Bible study. If you know other people in your neighborhood who would be interested in learning more about God, serve them in that way. Here's something else that I think would be so cool. I want to encourage you. I would love to see, throw a neighborhood block party. Throw a neighborhood block party. Do something fun to hang out with those. Was that a woohoo? Sound like a turkey call back there. All right. So as a church, we have this outreach trailer. We have this trailer that we can throw a grill in and we can throw a bounce house in and we can send it to your neighborhood. I want to encourage you, serve your neighborhood, serve your neighbors, love them practically, throw a party for your neighborhood. Step out. I'd love to see this summer, we just do this in so many of our neighborhoods. It'd be an awesome thing. Talk to your neighborhood association, whatever that looks like for you guys. So serve them. Find a way to serve those around you. These are practical steps to show the love of God to those around us. And what burdens me right now as I talk about this is, will any of us actually do this? Will any of us actually have a change of heart and a change of behavior to break out of the habits of hatred and conflict with those around us to show them the love of God? What does he say at the beginning of the passage? Is that love is so foundational. If you don't have love, then it's pointless. If you're not loving those around you, then whose son or daughter are we? If we aren't filled with God's love and showing that to those around us, it's a big challenge. Here's a couple of tools and resources for you, maybe to help. Have you guys heard of something called Nextdoor.com? Anybody? A few of you have. Nextdoor.com is a social networking tool. It's actually where your neighbors can link up together and share information about, you know, what's going on in the neighborhood. Go ahead and go to the next slide real quick. Nextdoor.com is a great way to get to know some of those around you and network with those around you. It's not necessarily a Christian site, but just kind of a social networking kind of site. I would encourage you to check this out. See if your neighborhood has something like this. Another step, another option for you is a YouVersion reading plan. I want to encourage you to be into the Bible during this series about how does God call us to love those around us. If you want to be changed and transformed, you need to let the Word of God reshape how you think. So I want to recommend a reading plan called How to Neighbor. It's a 10-day reading plan on YouVersion. So if you go to your app store, download the Bible plan by YouVersion, by life.church, and download that, and you can start a reading plan called How to Neighbor. I would encourage you to do that, that you'd supplement or you'd also do this while you listen to the sermons, whatever that means, whatever that is. All right, you guys understand what that is. I want to just tell you this last story, and then we'll have the band come up. So think about how love changes a person. Think about how love changes a person. Think about how you've been loved by someone. Think of an example of a way that you've been shown unconditional love in a way that changes you. We have a period of time in our church's history, in my life's history, affectionately known as Josh's freakout, Pastor Josh's freakout. Some of you were here at our church at the time, some of you were not, but we were a couple years into the church plant, and I was at a point where I was really burned out. And I didn't realize how badly I was burned out until I walked off the stage on a Sunday and just told the elders, guys, I'm done. Like, I can't go any further. Like, I'm just done. I'm spent. And they're like, well, can you, you know, at least come preach this next Sunday and we'll talk about it. I'm like, no, I can't even think about anything else for right now. And so it was a really low point in my life and my ministry. I didn't have a clue whether or not I was going to be able to continue to pastor or whether I just feel like being done. I feel like crawling in a hole and being done. I was emotionally spent. I was physically spent every way. I was just done. And I up to that point, I hadn't told the elders or anybody about it because I was afraid that if I show that I'm weak and struggling and vulnerable, that I would get kicked to the curb, that they'd be like, okay, we need a stronger, better leader. Does that make sense? You've got this fear that if I show weakness, if I show other people that I'm struggling, then they're not going to like me anymore. Make sense? So I had those fears and those anxieties, but I got to the point where I can't do this anymore. Guys, I'm done. I'm done. So the elders at that point had a couple of decisions and a couple of things to do, right? And so what they decided to do was they decided to give me a month where I could rest and I could get my head back and I could seek God and seek God for what he wanted for my future. And that was a scary season. Some of you were here. You remember the elders getting up here and saying, hey, guys, by the way, Pastor Josh is gone. He's not here anymore. We're going to be taking over. And Tony stepped up. And I think Tony was like 2 months on as a new staff person at the time. And maybe that's the reason for my freak out. No, I'm just kidding. That season was transformational. It changed me. And here's why it did. Because I saw it demonstrated in my wife, in Pastor Tony, and in the church elders, and all of you. I saw it demonstrated a level of unconditional love that I hadn't experienced before. I had people who came around me and loved me and said, Josh, no matter what you're going through, I'm going to love you regardless of that. If you're struggling, that's fine. We all struggle. We're going to love you through this. It didn't change. It didn't change how they treated me. It didn't change my position or my perspective in their life. It didn't change any of that. They loved me unconditionally regardless. Isn't that awesome? And that experience transformed me as a person and as a pastor. It changed me because of their unconditional love for me. Now, that's the same kind of love that God calls us to have for every single person around us. Doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not. Doesn't matter if they're horrible or not. God calls us to love them unconditionally. Can you imagine what would happen in our world if the body of Christ actually loved people the way that God has said he will empower us to love people? Can you imagine how transformational that would be in our world? Imagine the voice that the church would have in our world if we love people this way. One of the reasons I think that the church has lost its voice, one is, you know, because people just don't care. But I think the other reason is because we haven't shown and demonstrated the love of God along with our truth-telling. They need to go together. And I'm not great at that either. But I think the church would have a greater platform if we figured out how to love people and share the truth from that position. Make sense? It'd be transformational. Band, you guys go ahead and come on up. Let me close with this verse. When Jesus was being tested by the religious people, they asked him a very specific question. They said, Jesus, we want you to summarize what it's all about. And Jesus responded this way. Here's his summary of what life is all about. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, here's the first thing. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. What does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God is calling us to. So let's go ahead and pray and ask him to empower us to do this. God, I'm challenged and I am convicted. I know that there's people that, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I have not loved. I haven't loved the way that you've called me to. I can remember events in the last couple days, where whether it's with my kids or my wife or those around me, that I have not loved. God, I just want to ask you, I want to repent of my sin before you, and I want to ask for your forgiveness because I have not demonstrated your love to those around me. So God, please forgive me, and please help me and allow me to make it right because I have mistreated people, and I have hurt people, and I've been unloving. I just want to acknowledge that before you. I want all of us to acknowledge that before you. And God, there are people in my life that I've written off because of whatever has happened. And I just pray, God, that you would help me to be so filled with your love that it would overflow. God, give me a renewed heart. Transform my heart to get rid of the anger and the bitterness and the rage and the jealousy and the hatred. God, that you would flood and wash all of that away, that you would supernaturally fill me with your love. God, I pray that you would empower your church, your people, to love the world radically, not sacrificing truth, not sacrificing your design, but finding a way, God, to do it as you do, with complete love and compassion and grace. So God, I pray that you would transform each individual heart, and that as a result, you transform our church and our communities and on out, God. We ask of you, God, to show us your amazing love for us that is never changing. It's unconditional. You'd empower us to love this way, God. We need you. We need this. Transform our hearts. Speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen.